a great conversation with Laura. We talked about leadership, and we talked about why this is important. Why is leadership important, and practical strategies and habits that you can start implementing daily to become the best leader you can in your organization, in your business, as an entrepreneur, solopreneur, whatever, right? Because we are always leading people, whether it's our home, our business, something, right? So I wanted to have a conversation that would really show you the impact of good leadership. And Laura has really made profound impacts on owners and executives around North America. And she shows you how to enhance your personal and communication and your leadership effectiveness. So I think you're really going to love this, especially if you are a leader or an entrepreneur, solopreneur, and you really want to learn how to become the best leader you can be, then go ahead and watch this episode. I think you're going to truly enjoy it. What's up, everyone? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. And I'm so stoked that you're here. I freaking love podcasting. I love everything about it. And the reason I love it so much is because it connects amazing humans that I find in this beautiful planet that really want to just grow, challenge, and transform your thinking. And today I'm excited because I have Laura Watson here. She's the founder and lead business coach at Venture Coaching International. She is joining us today with over 25 years of experience in counseling and coaching. I know, Laura. I know. Right? It just does sound that way, doesn't it? Laura has made a profound impact on business owners and executives across North America by enhancing their personal communication and leadership effectiveness. And y'all know that things have changed around here. Leadership has changed. Corporations have changed. Things have really changed, right? Especially post-pandemic. So it is time to have these conversations about leadership and how we can enhance the communication that happens between these companies. So I freaking love this, right? So I know we're going to have a great conversation. Now, she holds a master in social work, and she is certified by Coach U and the International Coach Federation. Mm-hmm. And Laura is known for her expertise and unwavering commitment to personal mastery. Okay. So when she is not guiding her leaders, y'all, she's in the boardroom, you know, so she's doing these things. You might find her on the ballroom floor, y'all, because she's a dancer too. All right. Mm-hmm. And she's training for her next dance competition and doing all this great stuff. And I love people that can really just love all the different facets of who they are. So get ready for a powerful conversation, y'all, because you know that I love to have these conversations that are really going to shift the way you think, or maybe make you look at something that you can enhance and do differently. So Laura, thank you for being here on Straight Talk. I appreciate you. How are you?
I'm great, Nina. It's great to be here today. Thanks so much for having me.
No, I'm glad you're here. I love speaking to experts like you. And I know that, you know, when you say somebody's been in something for 25, 30 years, right? You're just like, like when people say that to me, I'm like, when did that happen?
Exactly. It's gone by in such a flash.
It does, doesn't it? That's why I love that you also do dancing, because it's something that I'm sure you love, because you're in competitions and all that great stuff. So it's good that we can have these both facets of ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. That we can love teaching people about something strategic like leadership and development and all that kind of stuff, but also enjoy ourselves in different aspects of our life, right? So absolutely. I know I gave your bio, but I do want to know a little bit more about you. So who are you, Laura? Because that was just a resume, but who are you?
Oh, who am I? Well, I'm someone who is passionate about helping people be the best they can be. I always have been. So, you know, my parents are great role models of people being in service, and I sort of followed in their footsteps, but in a slightly different way. So I started my career off in social work and in counseling. I worked with families and young people, worked in addictions and family crisis intervention, and all kinds of fascinating stuff there. And then made a transition into coaching because I discovered through some self-exploration that although I loved, you know, helping people in the counseling profession, counseling is a lot about helping people resolve their past. And I really wanted to help people move into their future.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah,
right? Because it's just so much more empowering from as far as I'm concerned. So yeah, so I made a switch into business coaching and leadership development. And so I've been doing that now for over 20 years. And what's been really cool about it is the, although the coaching moves people forward, I do have the counseling background. And so I get to have whole person conversations with leaders. I get to work on business plans one day, and then I get to help them with their mental and emotional mastery the next, or even with their parenting skills, because business owners are parents, right? Yeah. And they're dealing with stuff at home as well. So I feel really, really fortunate that I have a broad range of skills and I've built quite a toolbox over the years to help people, like I said, be the best they can be in all areas of their life.
You know, I think that's the best part, right, of saying that you do have 25 years of experience, is because now you have wisdom. You have so much that you've done and gone through.
And the gray hair to go with it.
Oh, girl, I, you know, I keep a lot of people in business dyeing my hair. But yeah, you know, but it's beautiful, isn't it? Like when we get to a certain age, yeah, we can't turn back time. I was thinking about this the other day. I'm like sitting there saying, dang, I would do things a bit different. You know, I would be more bold. I would be more forward. I would have really gone for things a little when I was younger, instead of just working or survive, you know? And, but I can't do that. But the other aspect of that is there's a lot of wisdom in me. There's a lot of wisdom in you, right? Because we've been through a lot and have gone through all the ups and downs and the challenges and the goods and the bads, which is so beautiful about life, that you have so many experiences, right? So yeah. I just want to touch on something really quick, just for those who are listening. Can you give us the difference? You can just give us a high overview, but the difference between the counseling and coaching. You mentioned a little bit about past and forward, but I just would want people to understand that these are two different things.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I mentioned, you know, counseling is about helping people resolve the past. So it's a, you know, it comes out of that old psychoanalytic model and it about, you know, trying to understand who we are, why we do what we do, and understand that, you know, the events of the past, you know, don't have to define our future. But sometimes, you know, we do have to process those events and with a counselor sometimes, so that we can gain, you know, perspective, you know, on those old events and start to see them as events, but and not as things to that have to hold us back. And sometimes that just takes a bit of work to do.
Yeah.
Whereas coaching is a self-exploration process as well. So it's similar to counseling in that respect. But it really is about understanding, to some degree, it really doesn't matter how we got to where we are today. I mean, you were talking about the wisdom gained over the years, and maybe you would have done things differently had you known differently in the past. But I'm guessing that you never woke up any morning thinking, you know, how can I screw up my life in some way? You've always woken up every morning, as we all do, thinking, what can I do today to move myself forward?
Right.
Right. And so coaching is about that too. It's about having a conversation that helps someone get clear, first of all, on what they want in their future. Because sometimes we're not always clear. We've got this vague idea that's kind of rumbling around inside our head, but it doesn't really become real until we can have a conversation about it with someone, or even put that vision out on paper. So, because something happens when we get it out of our head and get it on to paper, whether that's digital paper or physical paper. I still like my physical paper.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So coaching is really about creating clarity about the future, and then taking what are the steps that we can take to consistently move towards that future, because life shows up. It's going to take us off our game. Old habits are going to show up and try to take us out sometimes. And limiting beliefs are going to show up and try to take us off our game at times. And then we have to give ourselves permission when we fall off our game to get back on our game and keep moving forward. So coaching also has an accountability factor attached to it, right?
Because I was going to say that.
It can be hard to keep ourselves on track. It's hard. I struggle sometimes to keep myself on track, and I use habit tracking tools and all kinds of stuff to try to keep myself focused, and have my own coaches, whether it's my ballroom coach or my current book coach, because I do have a book in the works.
Awesome.
So having a coach to help us gain perspective, be a fresh perspective, be that accountability agent in our lives, you know, and move us forward. That's really the difference between coaching and counseling.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for doing that and explaining that. Because I think for people who maybe haven't done coaching yet, or, you know, or has done counseling in the past, sometimes those things can get, you know, muddled up, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes people think they're the same thing and they're not the same thing. And those of you who are listening, because I know a lot of coaches listen to the show, you know, don't get caught up in something where you are now counseling. Okay. Especially if you're not certified in that, don't get caught up in that. Like, realize that maybe the person in front of you needs counseling and not coaching yet. Right? Because some people are really still stuck in the past a bit and can't move forward and are really, and I've been there. I've been there and I've gone through counseling myself just to kind of, you know, resolve those issues and so that I can move forward. Yeah. I find coaching to be very powerful in that because it helps me to keep looking forward and not in the rearview mirror. And I love that. Right. And there's sometimes you have to go back and visit and say, oh, I do that because of this. Let me shift that. You know, as opposed to staying there. You know, and sometimes I feel very sad when I've spoken to people who are in counseling for 25 years and still haven't resolved that issue. That to me is like, that's a problem. You know what I mean? Like, you really need to see what's going on here, that you have a 25-year relationship with your counselor and you haven't moved forward. That's not good.
Yeah, you might need a new counselselor, right?
Might need a new counselor, yeah.
You might need a new counselor. You know, there's counseling modalities out there called solution-focused therapy. And I would say solution-focused therapy is probably the closest you can get to coaching, because it is about, again, moving forward, looking at where you're at today, realizing, you know, as well, we can't change the events of the past. What is there maybe to be learned from them, or even at least kind of neutralizing them so they don't have impact on us anymore?
Right.
And then, yes, getting us moving forward again.
Right. So then how are you now doing that? Because as when I was reading your bio, you're working a lot now with like leadership, right? So are you working more with the leadership, like one-on-one? Are you doing it as a corporation? Like, tell me a little bit about what you're doing there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it's a great question. So I work one-on-one with leaders. And so whether a leader is a solopreneur, running a small practice of some kind, I work with lots of subject matter experts. So engineers, accountants, lawyers, for example, who are now leading small teams. Mm-hmm. So they have, they know their profession and they're experts in their profession, but now they've got a small business operating and they're leading, in addition to leading themselves effectively, which is the first step, they're now leading others as well.
So
I work with those kinds of leaders. And then I'll also work with executive leaders. So CEOs and senior leaders of larger companies. And so I really look at leadership actually in levels, if you will. And that's actually what my book is going to be about. It's about the levels of leadership, because there's self-leadership.
Right.
Keeping ourselves on track and managing our own, you know, behaviors and thought patterns. And then there's going to the next level, which is starting to lead others. And then there's business leadership, where we've got business plans to manage and the structure and processes of a company. And then we have executive leadership, which is really about, in addition, it takes everything into account, plus grooming the next generation of leaders. So I see the executive leaders is actually starting to learn and adopt some coaching skills and bring that into their leadership style so that they can grow and develop the next level of leaders.
Yeah. You know, I think it's, you know, how do I word this? I think it's very, unfortunate, I guess, or toxic, however you want to say, when a leader hasn't taken any kind of leadership, accountability or teachings or something. Because to your point, you can be a complete expert in your field and be a horrible leader because you haven't led a team before. And it's not because you're a horrible person. It's because you haven't developed those skills. Absolutely. And a lot, and that happens a lot to a lot of people, unfortunately, right? So Laura, they start this amazing organization as an engineer or whatever. They do phenomenal and people can count on them and they immediately move up the corporate ladder. But when they move up, it's like, now there's an issue. Right. Mm-hmm. And that is where I feel for them, because I realize that they are still excellent at what they do. They just don't know how to tell others to do that. So delegating sometimes can be a problem. You know, leadership can be a problem. Selling the vision can be a problem. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of things here that happen, right, to our leaders. And now I've realized that, you know, with all this quiet quitting and all this stuff going on in the world, like you really have to step up your game as a leader. You really have to step up your game. And that's why I love what you're doing, because I think it's important, right? It's really important for these organizations who, you know, are really giving people opportunity to have amazing jobs and use their skills and their education and all this great stuff. So I think it's important to hire people like you who are in this leadership coaching that are guiding these organizations, right? So I was, you were talking, I'm thinking, what are some practical strategies or habits that you can give someone right now who's listening that they can implement in their lives, maybe daily, right? So that they can enhance that leadership effectiveness. What do you think is like some practical strategies they can be doing?
Absolutely. Yeah. To your point, Nina, I think we've grown up, in a paradigm in the professional world that you have to climb the corporate ladder.
Right.
You know, whether you're climbing inside a corporation or you've become an expert in your field and now start a business, that's kind of represents the next level of the ladder, if you will. Being an expert, a subject matter expert of some kind, and then growing into leadership is a completely different skill set. Yeah. And not everybody succeeds at it because they became expert in one area and then they go into a leadership role of some kind and then they hate it.
Yeah.
It's really unfortunate, right? And they kind of suck at it.
Yeah.
Right? Because they haven't done the training necessary to become a leader. Which you and I have identified as a different skill set. And I would say one of the primary skill sets that people need if they're going to go into leadership are communication skills.
Yeah.
Because, you know, communication is just so important. And that's a type of work that I love doing. But, you know, about 25 years ago, I actually got trained as a communication expert. And communication is a big umbrella. There's a lot of things that fall under that umbrella. It's how do you give feedback effectively? And before you even worry about giving feedback to someone, how do you listen effectively? Because a lot of people and a lot of leaders, they're listening from the perspective of what am I going to say next versus really listening to understand. And that's really the key piece is we have to listen first to understand the perspective of the other person. We don't have to listening to understand doesn't mean we always agree.
Right.
But it's listening to understand because we all have different perspectives on things. And what happens is people take in information and then they make it mean something. They make up a story about it. And then they react, they have feelings, they react and they take action based on their story of the communication and what they made up about it versus the communication itself and the facts that were actually being relayed. And so that's where communication gets all muddled up is we don't listen to understand. We don't confirm understanding between two parties. And if we're not doing that, then we have all kinds of miscommunication and misunderstandings that creates a whole havoc of issues, right?
It sends
people off on tangents. Mm-hmm. My leaders complain they can't delegate because they don't get the work back the way they wanted to it. And then they get this thought pattern going, oh, it's just easier and quicker to do it myself, which keeps them stuck from doing the important work of leadership and where they are best need to put their time and energies. So delegation is another communication skill that is super important so that we can share what needs to be done, parameters to it, have checkpoints to it, and use an important skill called active listening to confirm that understanding. Because really, that really is the only way that we can be absolutely sure that what we've delegated in and the understanding on the other side by the other party is exactly what we intended to communicate. Yep. And if we have clarity of understanding, then we're way more likely to get back what we wanted to get back in our delegation.
So that's so true. That's so true. And you know, so is physical communication too. Like the way you stand, the way your facial expression is, like all of that also communicates. And if your team feels like, oh yeah, you're saying that with your mouth, but your face is looking at me angry, or your body language, you know, that is important. I think sometimes we don't think about that, but it is true. That is important. And, you know, I'm thinking about what you're saying. And it just reminded me of a scripture that says, you know, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Right. Mm-hmm. And exactly what you're saying. Like, you have to be quick to listen. Just really pay attention. Be active with what you're doing. Be active with what you're listening. Because remember, especially for those of you who are leaders or just getting into leadership, they're on your side. They're on your team. You guys are going for the same goal. These are not your enemies. And also, for those of you who are leaders who have been feeling like, ugh, I'm terrible at this. This is, and you speak to this a little bit, Laura, if you agree. I was in leadership for a very long time, right? And I used to be known as the counselor or the coach of the organization. Mm-hmm. Because all of the big executives and C-suites and all that used to come to me to talk to me about stuff because they were struggling, right? Mm-hmm. One of the themes that I noticed was that there was a lot of imposter syndrome because they weren't being completely taught like all these skills. And so therefore they felt like, I'm not good enough. I can't do this. I don't know if I know what I'm doing, right? Do you find that at all when you're working with certain leadership?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've all had moments of imposter syndrome in our lives, right? Yeah. But imposter syndrome comes from the limiting beliefs or our self-talk.
Right.
And it's interesting, actually, because there's three fundamental beliefs that we as human beings develop early in our lifetime. And I call them fundamental because we all experience these to some degree. It's fascinating to me how we can have all these different life experiences and yet all of us develop these three fundamental beliefs. And the three beliefs are, the very first one, and it happens very young in our life, is I'm not enough, or I'm not good enough, some version of that story. And then a little bit later on, when we're in our early tweens or teens, we develop a story of I'm alone, I don't belong. Mm-hmm. And then the final story that we all develop is I have to do this myself. And everyone has a different life event that triggers the development of that story. But the interesting thing is we all have the version of the story. Mm-hmm. And we assume the stories are true. We don't question them. They just become these stories that we kind of live with. And as we go through our lives, we collect evidence to support the story and prove it's true. And until we examine the story, and actually debunk the story for ourselves and realize, you know what? That's just a story I made up once upon a time. It's not actually true. And here's all this other evidence demonstrating that it's not true. But until we do that little piece of self-examination, we carry those stories. And those stories become, you know, what leads to the imposter syndrome. And the imposter syndrome makes us feel disingenuous at times. Yeah. It makes us feel insecure. We doubt ourselves. And then, so those thoughts lead to feelings, which lead to action or inaction, which create the results in our life, which is why some coaches, you know, will focus on what action do you need to take to get what result. But if you've got a really good coach, you're actually diving deeper and you're looking at the thoughts and the feelings that generate the action or inaction, because that's the root cause of everything. The actions that you're taking or not taking, that's really symptoms of something else. And just like a cold, you know, got the runny nose, but the runny nose is a symptom of something else. So we have to dive deeper and we look, have to look at the core issue and resolve the core issue in order to get rid of the syndrome, the symptom, sorry, which is that imposter syndrome feeling.
Yeah, yeah, because you're talking about, you know, personal growth, right? Like really diving deep into your own personal growth, because that's not going to just happen at work. It's going to happen in relationships. It's going to happen at home. It's going to happen wherever you are. So yep. What advice do you like give these leaders to balance like that, you know, professional growth with that personal growth and personal passion, you know, without sacrificing one or the other, right? You don't have to be so completely this that you sacrifice that. But how do you advise the leaders to balance all of that?
Well, you know, it's all intertwined, like you said, you know, mm-hmm. our personal growth, we are the person, we are the leader showing up in all these different environments, whether it's we're showing up in our marriage, we're showing up in our parenting, we're showing up in the boardroom with our teams. It's all, you know, intertwined. So know thyself, I think is very powerful, and yeah. know that any investment someone makes into their personal growth is going to be an investment in their professional growth as well, and yeah. is going to continue to take into the next level. And there's all kinds of tools and opportunities out there based on how people like learning best. You know, maybe there yeah. are a few issues to get resolved through counseling, or maybe there's workshops that can be done. There's a program that I invested myself in, my whole family has invested in, called Landmark Education. They've got a brilliant, what they call curriculum for living and leadership development program. And so, you know, I've been through that. I bring principles from that education into my coaching because it's just part of my DNA now. I can't help
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, that's heard of that. That's yeah. awesome.
The only challenge if someone decides to maybe read a leadership book, or which I highly recommend, or go to workshops or what have you. They're all great. The challenge is how do you implement and keep the work moving forward in your life afterwards? Because you can go to a workshop, for example, learn some great stuff, and then you're going to come back on Monday morning and you know, the environment's going to hit you again. And it can be really hard to stay on top of and implement yeah. all the great learning from whatever workshop you've done. So again, that's where a coach can be super helpful, because a coach can understand, you know, the learning you've done, help you move your learning even further and deeper.
Oh, true.
And keep you on top of the learning when life shows up and tries to take you off your game.
Yeah, the truth is, Laura, is that we can't do this alone. Mm-hmm. That's just the truth, whether it's life, business, career, whatever. And leadership sometimes can feel very lonely.
Absolutely.
Right? So especially if you are really higher up in like the C-suite, VP, all of that, right? Like a CEO, I know that it can be very lonely for them because I've spoken to a lot of them, right? So
me too.
yeah, exactly. So, you know, I always like, I coach women to transcend a bunch of like unwanted behaviors and stuff like that. But we do it because they're creating their own coaching businesses. So I help them create their own coaching businesses so that it aligns with their values. And then we help them launch and scale. So we help them with automation and marketing and all of that, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the things I realize is all that inner stuff that comes when they first come in, you know what I mean, to the program, all that stuff starts showing up, right?
Yep.
They feel like they get to do it all, or they're doing it alone, or they feel very lonely. The coaching business is great, but it can feel very lonely. Mm-hmm. And why you need another coach, you need a community, you need something.
Absolutely.
Because it can feel very, very lonely, especially when you're trying to think of your modules and your program and how you're going to do this and blah, blah, blah. It feels lonely if you're doing it alone. Mm-hmm. So in that, I say, for those of you who are listening, because I know a lot of you are solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, all that, that feels lonely too. But when mm-hmm. you are a solopreneur and an entrepreneur, you are also a leader. Like, don't just, yes. you are just a solopreneur and entrepreneur. You are a leader. You're leading yourself. You're leading either a team. You're leading your clients. You are leading.
Absolutely. Right?
And so I love that. I love that you are helping them navigate that. So I love what you just said too, because it's true. A lot of us, I'm not in leadership anymore because I'm 100% an entrepreneur. But when I wasn't in that leadership role in corporate, I remember feeling very lonely. And I also remember really investing in myself. I went to workshops. I went to different networking events. I went to do that because I wanted to learn. Mm-hmm. But you are 100% correct that when you get back into the office, life hits you. Everything's hitting you. And then you're like, screw it. You know what yep. I'm saying? You just like, forget it. But you, I love that you said, here's where I step in, right? As your coach, and we will now start to implement the things that you've learned that you think are going to help you with Absolutely. Your
leadership. Yeah.
I love that. Right. So talk to me now about that. What is it that you're doing with these clients? How does somebody work with you? Like, give me that info.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So the type of coaching I do is highly individualized. You know, you get some coaches out there who I'm sure they're great and they've created packages and programs and they're going to sell you their package and you're going to run through their curriculum. And that can be great for some people. I'm on the other side where I create individualized programs.
Yeah.
So when I first meet someone, I want to get a sense of who they are, where they're at, you know, in their life and business and career, and want to understand what their goals and objectives are. And so then the very first thing that we do together is we create an individualized coaching program for their first 90 days. We get clear on their intention together. We create some goals and objectives so that we can measure success at the end of the 90 days. We talk, we form an overarching sort of general strategy about how we're going to get there, which is usually, well, it's always related to what they see as the biggest challenges that they're dealing with, because it's moving through the challenge that is mm-hmm. the how that they're going to get to the other side. And then we get clear as well about what specific support they're looking for from me so that I can make sure I deliver great coaching. And the support that they're usually looking for me is tools, accountability, fresh perspective, be a sounding board, those kinds of things. So we create that program together. Right. Mm-hmm. And then I typically work with my clients on a weekly basis. And we have about an hour together where we look at, you know, the wins, the progress that they're making so that they can see and feel good about what they're up to. Then we dive into the challenge related to the goals and objectives. Or sometimes it's more of a triage issue. If something happened, you know, that week or that day, or they see something coming up that needs immediate attention, we'll deal with the triage stuff as well so that we can clear those roadblocks and give them strategies and tools for clearing that roadblock. And then they walk out of every session with some action steps. So there's always going to be a little bit of homework to do, because the action step in between the sessions actually creates the forward momentum. And so keeps them moving consistently towards their goals and objectives throughout the quarter. And with that type of process going, being able to deal with the hot spots as they occur, balanced with focus on keeping the goals and objectives moving forward, I find my clients meet or exceed their goals every quarter, mm-hmm. which is so exciting to see.
Yeah, I was just going to, I'm sorry to interrupt you earlier. I was just saying, because you said accountability, and I think that is the biggest piece that people underestimate, right? Mm-hmm. Like you said, we keep you moving forward. But why? Because they know they got to meet with Laura. They know go through it. They're going to get a little bit of homework. And so it's important. It's important. I mean, think about it. Like most people, maybe I don't want to give a percentage because I really don't know the percentage, but most people won't give their 100% at the gym unless they're with a trainer.
Yeah.
You know, because they need
the same way.
Yeah, saying, most of us, me as well. I mean, the truth is we won't, because we let ourselves slack.
Yeah. Okay? We let ourselves off the hook.
That comes with business, with health, that comes with all of it. And unless you are accountable to someone, you are probably not going to meet that next goal unless you are 1,000% in it and just won't give any excuses and you'll do it. Yeah. Now you do that for some things, but you probably, if I guess, won't do it for everything. Yeah. So that's why I love that you're doing that, Laura. And I love that you're helping all of these leaders do this, because this is going to help not just the corporations, help themselves, help their lives, help their relationships. It helps all of it, right? Well,
and we all need that little push sometimes, right? Like growth happens, whether it's personal growth or business growth. Growth happens in the discomfort zone. And we are creatures of comfort. You know, it can be scary and hard to move ourselves into a discomfort zone. I mean, you mentioned my dance earlier, and there's lots of stuff in my dance that is the discomfort zone for me. But mm-hmm. if I really want to get to the next level in my competition, I have to step into that zone. And so I need my coach to be that safe space for me, that place that makes it safe to stretch my limits, try something new, not get judged about it, and really step into the discomfort, because that's where the growth is going to happen. So, you know, whether it's in the ballroom for me or in the boardroom, you know, for a business leader, that's the other benefit, is having someone be that safe space to lead you into the discomfort zone so you can grow and get where you want to go.
I love that. I love it. I love what you're doing. I love this conversation. I love the gems you dropped. Thank you for being here. And so before I wrap up, I want people to know how they actually can work with you so that they can bring their leadership to that next level. So give us how people can, you know, connect with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always open to having a conversation, even if it's just to share some ideas and provide some resources, whether or not someone is, you know, looking at hiring me. Obviously, I'm always here to help people and would love to work with people when there's a great fit, because that's the other important piece about coaching is, you know, there has to be a good fit and trust there. But if people are looking for me, they can find me at my website, which is venturecoaching.ca, because I'm based in Canada. My email is similar. It's Laura, L-A-U-R-A, at venturecoaching.ca. And I'm on LinkedIn and YouTube as well. You know, I've got lots of great resources on my YouTube channel and on my website. I've got a whole page of freebies. There's ebooks there that talk about communication, business planning, some marketing stuff, all kinds of leadership issues. So if people want to taste and want to, you know, step their toe in the water, going to my website's a great place to do that, because they can get a bunch of freebies and then reach out to me from there.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Laura, from hailing from Canada, the States. I really appreciate you taking the time to have this conversation. I love leadership. I love what that means. I love that we can really have people step into their power and who they really are and how they can really lead. And I believe that if you take that time to really invest in yourself and your personal growth and your professional growth, you can be a phenomenal leader where people will follow you wherever you go to really, gain that goal that everybody wants for that organization, that business, that nonprofit, whatever. So thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me, Nina. And I hope your listeners have gotten some value out of this today.
Yeah, well, I sure have. So I'm sure they have.
Okay, awesome.
Guys, thank you so much for hanging out with me and Laura. I'm going to make sure to link all of her information below so you can go ahead and connect with her. Also, follow her. Go check out her YouTube channel. I'm also going to put the link that she gave me, all the links that she gave me, especially for like the freebies and stuff like that. Y'all, it is time to really start communicating. I think communication has broken a lot within the last, you know, few years. I don't know what's going on, but we need to fix it, because communication is not about agreeing. It's about being able to come to the table to have a conversation where all of us can leave thinking, I was heard. Absolutely. I heard and I listened and I was heard. You don't have to agree. Why do we have this thing now where everybody has to agree and there's clicks and blah, blah, blah? Let's eliminate all that. It's not working. It's not giving us a better society. I'll tell you that. We have got to be able to communicate with each other. Okay. And as leaders, it is your role to step up and show that to your team so that they can do it as well. Thank you guys so much for hanging out. I love you so much. This is Nina Perez, Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Until next time.